Welcome to the Sober Yoga Girl podcast with Alex McRobbs, international yoga teacher and sober coach. I broke up with booze for good in 2019, and now I'm here to help others do the same. You're not alone, and a sober life can be fun and fulfilling. Let me show you how. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Sober Yoga Girl. I am so excited to have Jill with me here today from Sober Powered Podcast. So welcome, Jill. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to meet you and chat with you and hear more about your story.
Yeah, thank you.
So why don't we get straight into it? Maybe you can tell me a bit about yourself, who you are, and where you're from.
Yeah, so I'm Jill. I am from the Boston area, so I grew up here and never left. I work at a biotech company, so I'm a biochemist. Yeah, and very, very average, like simple life, nothing special. I didn't really travel very much as a kid. I just kind of like played a lot of video games. I was really bullied for all of middle and high school, so I really kept to myself and just studied and hung out with my brother, went to bed early. So I think that protected me too, because I was never invited to parties and I didn't even like know about parties. Bullying, and then went to college, went to graduate school. And now I work at one of the companies that you guys probably hear about a lot in the news. We made one of the vaccines actually.
Oh, wow. Oh my goodness. What company is it?
I don't know if I can say the company because we got this like social media like lecture about what we can and can't say. So I just say one of the companies. But yeah, it has been so cool to work at one of the companies and like be involved in that work. And like, it's just a really exciting time. Like I'll have that forever. Yeah. Like 50 years from now, I'll remember that like I worked at one of the companies, you know?
That's amazing. That's so cool. And so tell me a bit about your drinking. So how did you start drinking?
Yeah. So like I said about the bullying, so I didn't drink at all in high school, not even once. I had my first drink when I was 18 and I was on a cruise with my parents. So we were in Bermuda and the legal drinking age is 18 and I was 18. And I had my parents' permission. It was legal. It was okay. I got the glass of wine myself. And then I was just like hanging out with my brother. And when I got the buzz on for the first time, I felt this intense wave of shame. And I felt like I was bad. I did something wrong. And I had connected like the buzz and like getting drunk to being bad. So like drinking is okay. If you don't get drunk, then you're a bad person. And I didn't realize like the buzz that I had on half a glass of wine, like I wasn't even close to drunk. But after that, like I didn't drink at all for a while. And I went to college after that vacation. And in college, I got really obsessed with being thin. And that was like my life's dream, was to be thin. And like I would research how to be thin, like what kind of diets were the best to do. Like I was on these forums. So this was about 10 years ago, a little more. And back then there were these pro Anna forums for women that had eating disorders that wanted to like encourage each other and like share our wins. And like, so I would be on the forums all the time and we would be giving each other like very unhealthy diet advice. And so, yeah, I obsessed about thinness for all of college, and being thin and drinking alcohol, I knew that didn't mix because I had this belief that like when you drink alcohol, you got the drenchies and you just like ate all this food and, you know, alcohol has all these calories. So I didn't drink. And then when I went to graduate school after college, that was when I started drinking. And that was because when you're in graduate school for science, it's like a full-time job. So you go to your classes and then you work in a lab, you know, with whatever professor you decided to work with. Right. And you do that the whole day. So we would work like 9 to 5 and then we would go to the bars afterwards. And I was the only one not drinking. And I kept thinking like, they're not going to like me. Nobody liked me growing up. Like there's obviously like something about me that makes people not like me. And I was so stressed and I decided like, if I drink 2, they'll like me. I'll be one of them. and that will help. So I just started like ordering, like when the server would go around the table and ask like, what do you want? I'd be like, oh yeah, I'll have what they're having. Cause I didn't even know like what to drink at that point. Like I associated wine with shame. So I didn't order wine again. And then it took maybe like a couple weeks of doing this. And then I got my first like real buzz. And then I was like, okay, this is fantastic. I understand why people do this instead of wanting to get very thin. And like, I get why people do this every day. And like, now I understand. And then I was like there, I was in. So I just started drinking every single day. We would actually have parties at the school with the professors. Like it's very normal in science culture to just like drink at work. So we would like have these big parties and drink with the professors. And wow. I remember once they got that like ice shoot that they like pour a shot down and you like drink it. So yeah, very elaborate drinking parties. And I immediately had like no control of myself. And I was drinking and I was blacking out and I started to get like sick a lot. And I would get sick out on dates with guys. So embarrassing. And yeah, that was the beginning. And then I met my husband like a month into drinking. So then he started seeing like all of that. And yeah, I just didn't understand like having one or two and stopping. And I didn't understand like how drunk I would get if I had like one more. So if I had already had five and like then I had six, I wouldn't understand like, well, you're going to be like really, really drunk if you have another one. And yeah, all of this just came together to be a huge, big mess. Yeah. And that was my first drinking year.
Wow. And you know, you have an unusual story in that most people that I've spoken to start drinking pretty young. And so you're a little bit of a later bloomer, but it sounds like it was like almost like immediate, like almost like catching up for all those missed years. Like you just kind of like dove into it.
Yeah. I didn't waste any time. Yeah. Everybody had been drinking for many years before me and I was like worse than them right away. Like didn't waste any time.
And so how did your drinking, like how long were you drinking and did your drinking accelerate over time?
Yeah. So after that first year, I decided to leave graduate school. So I was in a PhD program. And I just decided it wasn't like the best fit for me. And I changed my career to be a teacher. And what I learned in graduate school is like work is very stressful and you drink to unwind after work and drinking helps you with stress. Right. And teaching is even more high stress. And so I just started drinking every day. And I had all this stress and I didn't think it was like a problem or a big deal. I was like, I'm very stressed out. So if I have a drink, now I won't be, and then I'll be good. So after like the first year of my drinking, I was a daily drinker. And then I stayed a daily drinker for the whole time. Yeah, and I remember, I think the second year of my drinking, I had a very high stress teaching job, which encouraged me actually to go back to school and get my master's and change careers. But I would come home from work and I would make these Cosmos in a pint glass and it would be like basically all vodka and then like a lot of triple sec and then like a splash of diet cream because you gotta get the diet. We don't want the sugar in the juice. And yeah, and this was in a pint glass. So it was a huge amount of alcohol. And then halfway through that school year, I started having two. And it was that second one that made me think. And I was like, that's a lot of alcohol, man. Like, maybe you should try to moderate. Maybe you should try to drink less. And then that started the whole journey. So I was 24 at the time. And I tried to moderate for 5 more years. And yeah, I never succeeded. It just got worse and worse and worse. But it was that like initial tolerance increase that really made me realize that there's like something going on here that's probably not normal.
Right. Wow. And, you know, I used to be a teacher too. I actually was a teacher for 6 years and I quit my teaching job at the end of last year, actually, to be doing my business full time. But I can like so relate to what you're saying of like, I believe it was the stress of teaching that I needed to numb out. I was just constantly in this chronic stress and alcohol was like a coping mechanism when I didn't know how else to cope with it.
Yeah, exactly. Teaching is, it's so rewarding and I love doing it. I wish that I could go do it, but the stress and like all of the hours, it was so much. And yeah, there's alcohol and there's food. And what else helps you when you're feeling that overwhelmed? Like some of my coworkers were working like 7 days a week and they were still behind. And yeah, so you must be feeling better now.
Oh,
now that
God.
You have more time in your day.
Oh my God. It is like night and day. And the thing is, everyone's going back to school this week. Like, so I have a lot of teacher friends that are coming to my yoga classes and I can feel their stress. I can hear their stress because it was stressful to begin with. And then you throw on a pandemic. it's uncontrollable. Like, so I'm super happy that I'm no longer doing it, but I definitely think this is the first time I've ever kind of made that connection of like the stress of my teaching job definitely contributed to the increase in my drinking for sure.
Yeah. So then I tried like I don't know what you would call it, but I know there's the geographical cure where you like move to try to not drink as much. I did that like with my career. So I got my master's and then I switched to lab jobs and I blamed my drinking on teaching. I was like, I wouldn't have to drink so much if my job wasn't this stressful. And I truly believed it. I thought it was like all teaching's fault. And if only I could have a different job, then I wouldn't have to drink as much. And like, it helped a little bit, but I still drank every single day. And then it started to like creep back up and it just continued to get worse. So like, even though it did help a little bit, it didn't really do much. And that was when, because now I had time to like have a lunch break or like go home at a normal time, I started going to therapy. And I actually went to therapy with the goal of finding out if I was an alcoholic or not. So I went and I asked this therapist, like, how do I know if I'm an alcoholic or not? Like, how do you know? And I was looking for her to like give me this criteria. And she was like, yeah, I don't really think you're an alcoholic, but why don't you not drink for a week? And then we'll just see how that is. And I had never skipped a day at that point. And so I did the week because she had challenged me. I knew I had to go look at her in person next week and tell her if I drank. And I knew like if I did drink, then that meant I was an alcoholic and I really wanted to avoid that. So I didn't drink. And then when I went back to therapy, she was like, yeah, you know, you're probably not an alcoholic. And then I was like, okay, cool. And then I just kept, you know, I'm not an alcoholic, so I'm good. I can just drink this way. And that's what everybody does. And so I started questioning it again very heavily, like when I left teaching. But it would take a few more years before like I really embraced that it was a problem for me.
And so that was the question I was going to ask you next. Like, what was the turning point for you when you really were like, okay, this is a problem?
Yeah. So after that, my mental health started getting really bad. So I've always struggled with depression and I developed anxiety. So I would drink all night, pass out, and then I would jolt awake at like 2 or 3 in the morning. And then I would have this really bad anxiety and it would keep me up and like the room would zoom out. It was really scary. And then my depression started to evolve too. Like I really hated myself for not being able to control my drinking. And like, I thought it was because I'm a loser, I'm weak, there's something wrong with me, like everybody else can control it. And I used to just beat the crap out of myself at night, like one and the next morning. So I would wake up and I would think like, you are literally the worst person that's ever existed. You're a loser. Everybody hates you. Like all of these bad things. And I would threaten myself, like, if you can't figure out how to moderate, then you're an alcoholic and you have to get sober. And like, everyone's going to call you an alcoholic. So I was just really abusing myself. I would, like the next morning after a heavy night of drinking, I would be doing my makeup for work and I'd be looking myself in the mirror and just repeating, I hate you. I hate you. I hate you, like over and over and over again. And I would like make myself cry. And that would be the start to my day. It's like making myself cry because I hated myself so much. And then by lunchtime, the hangover starts to fade and I'm like, oh, well, you know, you don't really want to never drink again. And, you know, if you don't drink today, like that's good and all, but your goal is to moderate. So you should practice drinking and stopping. And like not drinking wouldn't help you at all. And I would talk myself back into it, which wasn't very challenging. But I really believed if I could practice stopping enough, I could make it like something that I did naturally. And I mean, spoiler, like you can't, but yeah. So then like I continued that way and then I got really suicidal. So like all of that self-hatred just kept getting worse because I kept failing at moderation. And then I got really, really suicidal. And I would think like on top of like, you're the worst, you're a loser. Why do you act this way? Then I would think like really scary things. And my husband doesn't deserve this. You should set him free. Like all this stuff. And one day, I think I suffered with suicidal thoughts for like probably close to a year. Actually, it was a long time. I didn't drink for 90 days to try to like cure myself so that I could moderate. And then once those suicidal thoughts came back, I got really scared. And I acknowledged that like alcohol makes you suicidal. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. And it doesn't make your husband suicidal. It doesn't make other people suicidal, but for some reason it makes you really suicidal. And I accepted that like, I just can't drink. And I was so scared that I could do something like really bad to myself. And even in like all of that craziness, I knew like I didn't actually want something bad to happen to me. And that motivated me to stop because it, like my husband will go on motorcycle trips or like trips for work sometimes. So I would be alone. And those were the nights that I like really went crazy. And I would imagine going crazy alone and then waking up really suicidal. So it was the fear of like what I could do that made me stop. And then day two, I didn't feel suicidal anymore. Wow. And I haven't since. It was 100% alcohol. Like it wasn't actually me that felt that way.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. I know it's like a really vulnerable thing to share. And
thank you.
I can so relate. Like the reason why I stopped drinking was totally for my mental health. I had a mood disorder that I was on medication for, but the medication obviously wasn't working because I was drinking. But the interesting thing for me when I hear you say that is for me, it was like when I went sober at the beginning, my mood got worse. Like my depression got worse in the withdrawal. It probably was about 11 days where I was feeling really, really low, like wanting to, you know, not exist anymore. And then it took me, I had to get maybe 2 weeks through it. And then there was like a flip switch and I was like, okay, this is good. So that's really interesting to me that for you, it was so, so quick.
Yeah. It was basically immediate. The anxiety also went away because I don't actually have anxiety. That was all from alcohol. Wow. And yeah, like I had like the physical symptoms of withdrawal and everything, but my mental health snapped back really quickly. I also had like a huge pink cloud, a giant pink cloud, and that helped a lot too. And that was because like I didn't feel suicidal and I was like, oh my gosh, this is the best. I don't have to hate myself anymore. And yeah, so big pink cloud, that made a difference too.
But for me as well, the pink cloud came a bit later. Like, I think it's just interesting to hear how everyone's like journey is a little different, but because I definitely hit that pink cloud, but it took me, it was like solid days of me just having to like believe that it would get better, because it, for me, it definitely got worse before it got better. No, I can so relate to like the, just like the mental health struggles in general related to drinking.
Yeah, when I started sharing about it, it took some time because I believed that no one would ever understand and no one has suffered the way that I have suffered. And when I started sharing, people were like messaging me. I started sharing in Facebook groups and they would message me and be like, oh my God, I felt really suicidal too. Or yeah, I felt really suicidal and I tried to do something about it. And fortunately it didn't work. And just realizing like, a lot of people felt that way.
Yeah.
It was so empowering. Like, my struggles are not unique. Yeah. And I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah. And once you start talking about it and sharing about it, it just makes you realize like you're less alone than you believe you are.
Yeah, exactly.
And so tell me about, okay, so it got better for you by like day two. And then was that kind of like, was that it? Like, you were like, okay, I definitely want to be sober, or was there like, what was your journey like after that?
I know that alcohol for me equals like death, that I'm risking my life if I ever drink again. And I know that moderation is like, maybe I could do it temporarily because it's been so long since I had a drink, but I would go back to drinking normally for me eventually. And I wouldn't be able to stop if I started. I don't have like feelings that I have to fight off. I've had big emotional triggers that my first thought is like, I want to get drunk. But that's kind of different. Then I know like, no, you can't do that anymore. But when I fell off the pink cloud, that was really hard because then I had to accept it again and like grieve drinking because life was good. I didn't hate myself and all of this, and I still couldn't drink. Being social was also really, really hard. I used to go to parties at work. So I quit drinking, I think like 4 months before the pandemic started and everything shut down. And I quit in November, right when the holiday season was starting. So there were a lot of company parties. And I used to go to these parties and like come home and cry because it was so exhausting. Yeah. So I think that was really hard, like being around, like observing people drink. And I couldn't do it too.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a whole like a grieving process that lasted a while. And it pops up like every now and again, like when the weather got nice again and I started seeing people drinking rosé outside, like I had to grieve that a little bit and just like realize they can have a glass of rosé on the porch and then go inside and move on with their lives. And I can't, I won't move on with my life. I'll just like blow up my life and be like, alcohol, alcohol, alcohol. And it will like activate this obsession. So yeah, I had to do like a lot of perspective work in the beginning, and I still do.
Mm-hmm. And so what tools do you use when you're going through all that? Like what helps you get through it?
I like to share. I like to tell people what I've gone through, how I'm feeling, because they usually have felt the same way or have gone through something very similar. And like being able to laugh about it with other people who understand like really helps me. I go to therapy every week. I love my therapist. I started when quarantine started and we've worked through like the grieving process. And when I stopped drinking, like all of this anger just appeared in me all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. I would get like overcome with rage and I didn't know why and I didn't know how to make it go away. And we worked through that. And like, I kind of made connections on like why I was so angry and how I can deal with it better. So I think therapy has been huge. I'm also kind of dabbling a little bit in meetings and seeing like what kind of meetings do I like and getting to know like the different types of recovery groups. So I'm more willing to like try different things. In the beginning, we're more like that won't work for me. But now like the longer I'm sober, it's like, well, if it sucks, you don't have to go back, but you know, just try it. You'll see, maybe you like it.
Mm-hmm. And so was there any groups in particular that you like, did you do the AA, the 12 step or?
Yeah. So I attend a virtual AA meeting on Sundays, and that I just listen to with my camera off for now. I'm not working the steps and I don't have a sponsor, but I'm also interested in trying like the other groups online. There's the Luckiest Club that's very popular.
Yeah, I heard a lot about it.
Yeah, everyone's talking about that. And I actually went to a meeting of theirs where Kathy from Back to Zero was sharing.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, she shared her story and she invited me to come to the meeting. And it was so empowering. Everyone was so like just kind to her afterwards. I was really proud of her. Yeah, meetings like that, I think I'm really interested in. But yeah, I think just trying new things has helped me a lot and not being like static in my recovery.
Yeah. I have been really into, like, obviously I have my own little sober community and it's the only one I've ever known because I was never part of, I mean, I joined 1 year to be here to quit, but I never did any of the live Zoom or anything. And so anyway, I have been trying to be open to these new things too. So like I had Alex and Lisa from Be Sober on the show and they invited me to come try one of their lounges. And it was nice to just kind of like get into a different community and see how they do things and how they approach things. And yeah, there's so much out there. There's so many resources and I should really try to explore more of them.
Yeah, it's scary to try it, but you can go with a friend. That's how I started going to AA, even though it was virtual. I asked a friend who I know goes to AA, can you take me like virtually? And so just like going with a buddy can be really helpful too. Because I was really scared. I was scared of getting judged in a meeting, which is like really dumb, but that was my fear, or like being recognized like someone I know from work or something. Yeah. So there's a lot of fears about going to a meeting, but I think they're really helpful.
Yeah. I also do you have Clubhouse? Mm-hmm. I just started going into like the sober Clubhouse rooms, which is really cool because a lot of them are kind of speaking about the 12 step and it's not something that I've explored myself, but I'm just interested in learning more about all different ways that different groups do things. And I'm sure I can take something from everything. So.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I didn't think about Clubhouse because it is like, I listen to a meeting. You can listen. Yeah. That's a really good point. I should look into that actually.
Yeah, it's super cool. So tell me about how did you end up starting your podcast? Like, how did you get into that work?
Yeah. So because of all the self-hatred that I had and like I blamed myself and I thought something was wrong with me, when I stopped drinking, I really wanted to understand like, is that the truth? Am I actually a loser who can't control myself? And like, if I could just be stronger, I could drink normally. Because this is what I do like for my job, I just started researching it and like reading papers and reading about like the different research that's going on in addiction and all the different conclusions. And I would just do that every day, like by myself. And around like 7 or 8 months sober, I woke up one morning and I had learned like so much and it helped me so much to stop like blaming myself. And it was helping me deal with shame that I just decided like, everybody should know this kind of thing. And I thought about it, like I could make a blog, I could start a YouTube, I could start a podcast, and YouTube felt like really scary. So I was like, I'm going to podcast. There you go. That's how you share. And yeah, I just like recorded it the same day and launched it. And that was it. Like I just like put it out there. And so I took like all the research that I was doing and now I just like talk about it. Which is, it's fun for me too, because I have to think about like different topics now that I've been doing it for almost 2 years, like all of this reading. So I try to find like the latest experiments and yeah, it's really good. And it's helped me realize like, it's not my fault. I didn't do anything wrong. There's a lot of reasons something like this could happen to a person. Yeah. So it's just been very freeing to educate myself.
Oh, that's amazing. And I'm sure it's having such an impact on like so many people. Like I I'm sure like you experience the benefits just in you making it, but then all of the listeners probably changing people as well.
Thank you. Yeah. Sharing is so helpful. I love to share.
And so I have one more question for you. So I'm wondering if someone wanted to quit drinking, go on a sober journey, what advice would you give to them?
I think expose yourself to sober content like this podcast as much as you can. I started being an active member of sober Facebook groups like over a year before I even tried to stop drinking. And I would post in there. And people understand, even if you're still drinking, we know where you're at. Like, we can see exactly what's going on. And there's no judgment. And those groups are really safe. And even if you're just a lurker, I think just hearing the way other people think, because we believe like we're so unique, and seeing that people think exactly the same way that you do is really helpful. So there's podcasts, there's YouTubes, there's Facebook groups, the Instagram community is huge. Just like exposure, I think really helps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's amazing advice. And there's so many different stories and different people out there, and like finding the person that resonates with you, and it will be different for everyone based on like our own journeys. But yeah, that's really good wisdom.
Thank you. Yeah. That's what has helped me.
Well, Jill, thank you so much for being on the show. It was so nice to finally meet you after being connected on social media and kind of hear more about your story and your journey and how you got to where you are.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on and allowing me to share.
I hope to see you soon, and we'll stay connected.
Thanks.
All right. Take care.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Sober Yoga Girl with Alex McRobs. I am so, so grateful for every one of you. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss the next one, and leave a review before you go. See you soon. Bye.